Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Wednesday, June 22nd, 2011. Tech News Today is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 30% off your new account for 3 months, go to Squarespace.com and use offer code TNT6. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Sarah Lane.
I'm Maya Zakhtar.
And I'm Jason Howell.
And this is the show where we kick around the tech news, try to make some sense of it, along with Lance Ulanoff, editor-in-chief and SVP of content at PCMag.com. Welcome back to the show, Lance.
Thanks for having me back.
Hey, it's great to have you along. I know you've got a hard out here in 15 minutes, so let's get right into some of the stories that I know you wanted to talk about. Actually, we're all pretty excited about this Lytro camera that was unveiled. Lytro uses what's called light field pictures, taken with a light field camera, sort of similar to bullet time from The Matrix, right?
It's very cool. I mean, all those different lenses, it's like you see the picture one way with a certain depth of field. Anybody who does photography understands that when you focus the camera, you kind of open the or close the aperture a certain way, you've set the depth of field. And what that means is some parts will be in focus and some parts will be out of focus. But this technology uses a whole bunch of lenses to look at how the light is bouncing around things and kind of puts all the information into the photo, whether or not you're going to use it. So you can keep switching. You can switch where the depth of field begins and ends. And we have a demo on, you know, they actually have this embed code, so we've got a demo on PCMag.com. It's so cool, and that is going to change the way people do photography. It kind of reminds me, you know, I think one of the other big innovations some years ago was the Fovan chip. You know, it's like that moment where something changes. When this starts to show up in cameras, it's going to be mind-blowing.
What I think is what's interesting about Lytro's plans is that they say they're not going to license this. They're just going to make cameras, which is an interesting move because if it's successful, then obviously the Nikons and the Canons and the Kodaks and so forth will just want to replicate this because why would you get a camera that doesn't have Lytro technology if you can try to copy them?
Well, this
you know what? I don't think they're going to copy them. I think that they're going to rethink that. I think that it's very nice to go out and say that we're going to build a camera and sell it. It's not that easy to get into that market. You know, they will make a ton more money licensing this. So a lot of attention is focused on them right now because they say they'll have their own camera. But I bet 12 months from now we'll see it or we'll hear about it entering other major camera manufacturers' products.
You know, the thing is, the Lytro is using technology that's been around since the 90s. So what they've done is successfully miniaturized it to the point where it could fit into a camera, which probably means that people could, like Kodak or someone like Nikon or Canon, could probably figure out how to do this unless there's a whole bunch of patents involved.
Yeah, regular digital cameras only record the total sum of light rays hitting the image sensor. And what this light field camera does is uses these micro lenses that Lance was referring to measure color, intensity, and vector of every single ray of light. Now, that used to take a lot of cameras to do that.
And computing power.
And so what Lytro has done is crush it down into a possibly consumer-level product. And the big takeaway, if you're like, I don't understand all of these words, is you can focus your picture after you've taken it.
Yep.
And imagine how that will change the photo processing software programs that we all know and love. I mean, Photoshop, Aviary, you were talking about before the show, Ayaz. Ayaz also brought up a really good point. What about public webcams that might catch you on the street that a police officer might look at later to see if somebody was way in the background at that one point in time? You know, that sort of thing.
All of those movies where they're like, focus in grid 5.
Yeah.
Enhance now works, thanks to Lytro.
The implications of...
They'll have that information. It's actually there.
Yeah.
I think what I first thought of when I saw this is something I've been thinking about lately about actual 3D video. The problem with 3D right now is that, yeah, it's a little bit of depth, but everything's a flat image. This, if they worked it into a lens for 3D video and allowed you to kind of do the focusing yourself, eye tracking so that you can see the depth, would mimic real 3D.
Yeah, they say they can do 3D and with one lens versus having to have two lenses the way we do it now. Another story out today, Apple has been granted patent number 7966578, portable multifunction device method and graphical user interface for translating displayed content, has a lot of people up in arms. Some people saying this is an overbroad patent, that it would make Apple have a patent on all smartphones. Some patent experts talk to PC Mag and say, yeah, this is a broad patent. It could prove to be hugely problematic for other makers of capacitive touchscreen smartphones. Nilay Patel at This Is My Next has a good analysis of what the patent actually says, which is, if you have one finger scrolling of a web page and then embedded in that, like say a Google map with two finger pinch to zoom, that's what they got patented here. So it's not the entire touchscreen interface. Is this as damaging as it sounds, Lance?
Well, you know, the thing is about lawyers and patents is that there is some interpretation. You know, I read through the patent and it's kind of repetitive. It is a little hard to understand. When I first wrote about it, I said, I'm no patent lawyer. But I think that there's enough room in there that you can interpret that, you know, the images and some of the description that exists in this patent is one of the first times I saw kind of a rich look at the early iPhone, you know, because this was actually put in to the patent office in 2007, right? So this is when the first iPhone came out. And I've rarely seen a patent that describes the phone or has this many visuals that give you that much detail. And there are parts of it, I think, that kind of describe a little bit of how every touch interface works with things that are beyond the field of view. You know, with things that can zoom in and zoom out and can scroll around with two fingers or one finger, you know, that way of interacting with a smartphone and really a tablet too is to a certain extent an Apple invention. And we understand it on other devices because of Apple. And I think that's what I think that this patent is about. Is Apple looking to enforce this? Well, now they've got it, so they can do something with it. And this is a litigious environment. We've got Apple going after Samsung for making knockoffs. We see tons of other knockoffs out there. This is not the end. This is the beginning, I think, of more litigation in some form.
And by the way, as a side note, Samsung will not be allowed to see the iPhone 5 or the iPad 3 because the judge said, well, we don't know that those products exist. So no, you can't see them in that patent fight between Apple and
Apparently
Samsung.
They can see God, they've been told.
Yeah, well, apparently Apple knows the number to get a hold of God. But back to this patent, you know, the way Nilay analyzed it, he says you have to have all the pieces of the patent in your violation to be violating it. And the fact that it mentions a frame in there, he thinks will pretty much make it easy for other companies to engineer around this. But like you say, Lance, it's another stick in Apple's armory because what you want when you go into these patent disputes is to have a lot of patents that you can wave in front of other people's faces.
Well, and especially right. Since it's taken 3.5 years for this to be passed through. In 3.5 years, pretty much every other company has made a phone that Apple might say, that's an iPhone knockoff. I mean, you'd be crushing mobile businesses.
Like when Steve Jobs introduced the iPhone.
Say,
go ahead.
Sorry.
We did this when we worked together. The same thing happened.
I was just going to say that, you know, I wrote a column a couple of days ago where I positioned Apple, the iPhone, really as an underdog for just that reason, that they started something and now every device looks and acts to a certain extent like an iPhone. They're no longer that different. And it is kind of a struggle for Apple. They have to, with the iPhone 5, introduce something, I think, radically different to sort of say that they're still the thought leader here.
Yeah, and there's also the outside possibility, if they tried to enforce this patent, that a court could find that, you know what, so many people are doing this in so many different ways that the patent would get invalidated, and they wouldn't want that to happen either.
Right.
Following up on yesterday's story about Hulu possibly being up for sale, the LA Times reported yesterday evening that Yahoo was the suitor. We didn't mention Yahoo when we were discussing this yesterday.
It never actually came
never
up.
Never crossed my mind. But LA Times says they have a source that says Yahoo is the suitor. Michael Arrington at TechCrunch reports it's not Yahoo, but Hulu is actively looking for a buyer and has hired Morgan Stanley to represent them. Peter Kafka says yes. He'll back that up. He has sources. Also, Julia Borstin of CNBC have sources that Morgan Stanley and Guggenheim Partners, run by former Bear Schuster and CEO Alan Schwartz are helping Hulu to you know, find a buyer. And over at CNET, Greg Sandoval says, you know what? It's quite likely that all of this news is happening at the same time. You know, the possibility that there's a buyer, the fact that Fox Broadcasting and News Corp just renewed their content licensing deal, because somebody wants to pump up the value of Hulu before a sale.
Yeah, this kind of stuff happens all the time, where things are leaked to news outlets and a frenzy gets started. Is Yahoo buying Hulu? And then everyone wants to talk about if Yahoo would be the right company to buy Hulu, because sometimes they don't have a really great track record of acquiring companies and then keeping them on their toes. So
if you wanted to really spike the price and spike the interest, why choose Yahoo? Yahoo is like the worst company to acquire Hulu. I mean, just so it can kill it or destroy it.
Well, you do it so that the Google, who said, no, we're not interested, you go, Google, you want Yahoo to end up with Hulu? Come on. Like, you know, it's like a shell.
I don't care. I mean, I don't think Google gives a lick about Yahoo anymore.
No, they've got YouTube.
Microsoft,
they don't care.
If Microsoft was going to acquire it, maybe. Yeah, I do agree, though. I do agree that this is a ploy in some way. The major owners here, your investment guys, they want to make their money back. The content guys who are partners in here don't know what they want. They're confused and afraid of this, and they like it, but they don't like it. They're scared because people are no longer watching on the regular networks, and they're not entirely sure how to monetize what's happening through Hulu because we don't have enough Hulu Plus members. So a lot of confusion on that side. But, you know, the people who invested big money in Hulu want to make at least that money back and more.
Maybe Amazon buys them.
That would be interesting because they have some alignment there.
They have some streaming movies, but they don't have streaming TV shows, and they've got everything else. They're going to come out with a tablet. We're going to talk about that a little later.
I think the Yahoo angle of this probably wasn't just fabricated. Maybe Yahoo was like, we should have a conversation, Hulu, since apparently you're interested in talking to some companies. That, I mean, and then all of a sudden
Yahoo
it turns into...
Yahoo said, I hear we're interested in buying you. We wanted to follow up on that.
But yeah, I was kind of confused. They used to buy everything Delicious and Flickr and everything, and they would sell them off eventually. And considering Yahoo did have a video component for a while, they even had Yahoo Live, which I used for all of the 5 minutes it was active, it could be something they would do. They're kind of misled, so why not do that? Why not pick up Hulu? Because they don't know what they're doing anyway. They don't do
exactly
search, so they got to do something.
There's a strange, consistent logic to that.
That's a problem. That's really a problem.
Right. I know. Let eBay buy them.
Or maybe Hulu should just sell itself on eBay and just take the highest bidder.
And then Nokia will buy them.
You know, another company on the outside of speculation that could buy Hulu would be Best Buy. They have a deal with Napster, right?
They own Napster.
Why not
add a video service?
Best Buy soft launching a cloud music service today. When I first saw this, actually, Ayaz and I both kind of dismissed this when we saw the announcement about it earlier this month. But they launched it today, and looking closer at it, it looks like iCloud. It's called Best Buy Music Cloud. It's now available on the website, on desktop apps, and on Android. It's going to come to iOS and BlackBerry later. It's based on software called Play Anywhere by Catch Media, which also powers the Carphone Warehouse's My Music Anywhere service over in the UK. And what you do is it matches your songs in your iTunes library, and only your iTunes library, not any other folders, and then it stores those in the cloud, so it's supposed to do that fast. Any songs that they don't have the signature for, they will upload, and then you pay $30 a year or $4 a month for cloud access to that songs. Otherwise, if you don't pay, you just get the first 30 seconds of each song.
That's a terrible free version.
Wow.
That is awesome. That is feature free.
30 seconds.
Is what that is.
I Best Buy has not had a great track record with software. I remember buying some music players from them, some Sansa music players, and they always insisted on bundling their own rebranded version of Rhapsody. It was still Rhapsody, but it had Best Buy, and it was garbage. Like, everything that Best Buy would do to it made it worse. But to be fair, it's not that Best Buy is so much copying what Apple's doing, because I think we all recognize that when Apple introduced iCloud and the various features in there, it's not real innovation because it's been done in a lot of different places. But what's exciting is that it's part of, you know, the iPhone, iPod, iTunes, you know, the whole ecosystem. That's what makes it really exciting. Best Buy you know, when people buy hardware from Best Buy and even the media they might buy, they don't think of the Best Buy ecosystem. And I think Best Buy often tries too hard to marry these things together and pull people in. And I don't think people really want to do it.
Now, I tried this out today thinking like, hey, this has got all the services of iCloud, but I don't have to wait until the fall. So I'm going to give it a shot. It even allows you to pin your music, so you don't have to be connected to the cloud on your mobile devices. I tried to upload my stuff. I am stuck on song 150 out of 5,000 some songs. And look, Ars Technica had the same thing where they were stuck on song 68. And I'm seeing a lot of other reports that it's a little buggy.
As well.
It doesn't seem to have all the kinks worked out.
That's
yet.
That's why it's a soft launch, and Best Buy is not exactly promoting this or trumpeting right. this. But Best Buy does have the advantage of having all those brick and mortar stores. They have the Geek Squad kind of thing. So versus Amazon, when they want to introduce a product, they have to do it on a website. You can call them if you're really lucky. But Best Buy, be able to go into a store and go, I don't understand why this doesn't work. You could do that with Apple. Best Buy, maybe. Maybe they actually have a chance because they deal with a lot of consumers all the time.
All right, Lance, I know you got to go. Thank you so much for joining us for this part of the show, though. Really appreciate it. Let folks know what's going on over there at PC Mag.
Well, you know, we've got this ongoing series of Reader's Choice, which might interest people, that look at, you know, right now we just put up what are the best ISPs as told to us by our readers, you know, the most reliable, the best service. We also have, stay tuned because it's coming up next week, an extensive report on the fastest mobile networks. We drove across the country and tested out 3G and 4G networks. Huge blockbuster story coming to PCMag.com next week. So make sure to keep checking back in.
Excellent. No, that sounds really cool because trying to figure out why your service is good in your area versus other areas is always one of the complex matters there. Thanks again, Lance. Appreciate you taking the time to be on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Lance. Thanks.
All right, cheers. Take care.
Bye.
We'll take a quick break and talk. Speaking of reliable, thank our sponsor, Squarespace at squarespace.com. If you're thinking about creating a website, or let's say you're wanting to create a website for friends, or you have some friends who own a small business and they need a website, or they need to improve their website. They've got one of those crappy websites that just has their name and address up there, and they're like, you know what? I want to have more. I'm going to have more stuff there, and I want it to look good. Use squarespace.com. It's a fast, easy way to create a high-quality website right out of the gate. Even if you know nothing about web programming, you can pick a template, and it looks good. And then you can start learning, or if you know something, or if you've got a friend who knows something, or you're the friend, you can start tweaking it and making it look even better, more personalized, change the colors, put in some modules here and there. And the best part is, as your site becomes more popular, it's not going to crash, because Squarespace, unlike hosting it yourself, adapts the support and the bandwidth as your site gets more popular. So you don't have to worry about the infrastructure. You don't have to be, even if you're buying from a web host, you have to worry about maintaining that. You don't have to do that with Squarespace.com. And the best part is you can sign up for a free account. You don't even need a credit card. You can start a website before I finish telling you about it if you want. Go to Squarespace.com, sign up, use the offer code TNT6, and if you decide to purchase the service after you've tried it out, which I think you probably might, you want to use that offer code and you'll get 30% off your first 3 months of service. So check them out, squarespace.com. We love them. I use them for Forecast and for Sword and Laser. I have much better looking and more reliable sites than I would otherwise, and we thank them for their support of TNT. That offer code again, TNT6 at squarespace.com. So we mentioned briefly earlier that Amazon may be coming out with a tablet. It seems pretty likely they're going to come out with a tablet, but the rumors keep dripping out in Apple-like fashion. DigiTimes reports that Quanta Computer will be responsible for assembling the tablet. I'm going to call it
tablet.
With a supposed TI processor, not the NVIDIA one that has been rumored, and WinTech providing the touch panel among its components, not EIH. Amazon hopes to move some 4 million units in 2011. That's this year, according to this rumor. And they would be launching the new tablets as soon as August. August seems to be the new like time to have a rumor about something launching.
Yeah. As soon as August, 4 million units, that's right around the corner. Does this seem feasible?
I'm just thinking about how often Amazon releases Kindles, and this would probably be either a branded Kindle, so it's a color Kindle, or it's just going to be a brand new product. Well, I know the nicknames were something like Hollywood and something like that. So odds are, yeah, I guess August makes sense for Amazon. They got nothing else going on right now, right? They have Amazon Fresh, which they're experimenting with in Seattle.
It would still be rumored to be able to stream movies, so if they buy Hulu.
Well, and they also have their own deals, right? Amazon Instant Prime gives you a bunch of videos for free streaming. Actually, not for free. You pay the $90 a year fee, although Hulu would be a good option with that, too. And, I mean, odds are, yeah, they're going to come out with the color version. I mean, Barnes & Noble has their color Nook. The idea of Amazon making a tablet... Yeah, that's...
A tablet,
my bad. Yeah. The Amazon tablet, which is going to be, I think, quite successful.
Especially in where I grew up.
Tabit.
So Southern Illinois.
Tabit.
They like themselves.
August is, I think it's kind of turned into this magic month, too, where it's far enough out from holiday season, but it just precedes the back-to-school season, and Amazon with Kindles and then introducing a tablet that would be a reader plus so many other things is great for back-to-school.
It's not so far away that people will totally discount your rumor as irrelevant, but it's just far enough away they may forget if you're wrong by August.
We won't. We will call you out.
The Next Generation Wireless Disclosure Act is sponsored by Anna Eshoo, a congresswoman from California, and would require mobile carriers to offer potential and existing customers information on pricing, including caps on so-called unlimited data plans, would require carriers to disclose what technologies they use, and they couldn't just say 4G. They'd have to just tell you, is it HSPA Plus, is it WiMAX, is it LTE, and would require the FCC to compare the prices and speeds of these so-called 4G data services at the 10 largest U.S. mobile carriers. Are there 10? I guess there are.
10 and, largest. So yeah, they could be like the three gigantic ones.
You're going to have some regional ones in there for sure. And provide consumers with a side-by-side comparison of these speeds. Now, I like the idea of tasking the FCC to go and compare prices and speed. I think that is a valid use of public money to provide some unbiased information. The idea of requiring mobile carriers to offer all of this information, do we need that? They offer all this information already.
They offer this information, but a lot of people don't understand it. So I think that is the point of this, is to make sure that people understand that 4G is not a singular concept. Just because something is branded as 4G does not mean you have this blazing fast service. It depends on what kind of 4G, where you live. And we talk about this a lot, so it seems to us that, hey, you know, you just read the fine print. You know, you understand what kind of 4G you're getting.
Yeah, it says consistently, clearly, and prominently in all marketing materials. Because all that information is there, even the fact that they use LTE and WiMAX.
It
may not be as prominent.
It's not so much like the nutrition labels on food. Like, so on the back of the box, you'd see this, and people will just find something else to ignore. I mean, the fact that these companies have to write this information out, saying, we use HSPA+, and that's our version of 4G, the average consumer is going to say, what does that mean? And you'll see the download upload speeds, and maybe you'll think about, oh, what does my ISP actually give me upload download speeds? But I mean, this is a lot of work for the consumer to do, even if this data is present.
And also, the carriers go out of their way to make sure that the average person might not know that the HSPA isn't their best option.
Actually be faster than LTE in some cases.
Exactly. So if you break it down and look at things side by side, it's usually obvious which 4G is better for you, but it's in their best interest to make sure that people are like, 4G, great.
That's why I like the idea of the FCC putting out a price and speed comparison, but I don't think you need to make the telcos do anything else. I mean, unless it's false advertising. If the standard for 4G did not include HSPA Plus or the current implementations of LTE and WiMAX as it originally didn't, then I think you have a case for false advertising. But the standards agency caved on that and said, well, no, I guess you can call that 4G. And that just made 4G useless.
The ads will simply say speeds up to instead of just saying speeds like, I mean, the 4G speeds. They'll just come
faster.
It's faster than it was. There's just going to be more creative advertising, even though this will be in tiny, tiny print on the bottom of each ad.
Anybody written a 4G for Dummies book yet?
I think that's redundant. Finally, our last story comes via popular demand on our subreddit at technewstoday.reddit.com. For most of the day, it was the top hot story. And let me find out who submitted this one, because I want to give them credit for this. I've got it over here in a tab. This was submitted by Nearly Down. Thank you for that. And thanks to the people who voted it up. A UK copyright lobby held a closed-door meeting with the government there to discuss what Cory Doctorow at Boing Boing calls a national web censoring regime. It would be similar to the Protect IP law, but it would be voluntary. Targeting websites that are substantially focused on infringement of copyright would be put in place in the UK as a voluntary scheme and would require notice to operators of websites and a swift judicial review. So they're essentially trying to get the ISPs on board to cooperate with fast-tracking copyright infringement and shutting down websites. Now, one of the things that has got people so upset about this is that the Open Rights Group, which is the one of the lead advocates in the UK for this, were locked out despite hearing of the meeting in advance and putting in a request to attend it. Instead, they allowed the consumer, the statutory consumer agency, Consumer Focus, to attend and let them be the only consumer representative.
Yeah, and this is getting spun a lot into this gigantic censorship of the web. I mean, this, like Protect IP, the concept is if this is a site that substantially is focused on copyright infringement, then there would be a notice, and if they continue doing this activity, then the site might get taken down. If you actually read the 7-page document, it's not as terrifying as all the headlines are. I mean, this is the introduction. It says, the request from the minister is to establish whether there is a practical, balanced, and fair means of addressing the problem of websites that are substantially focused.
Well, they always write these things so they sound reasonable.
The whole 7 pages is like this. It's very, very...
Do we need to be spending this amount of time putting this amount of pressure on this? Or what about, you know, child pornography? What about fraud? What about malware? Do we have swift courts for them? Do we have voluntary associations for them? Are we prioritizing things right? I mean, that I know it's the closed door aspect of this that's really got people upset because they're not even taking in fair use and the rights of the people to actually have, you know, what is copyright infringement. Remember, fair use is a defense against copyright infringement. We don't even pay attention to the possible fair uses of things in these discussions. And this is just another example of that.
Well, I don't think it would go that. I mean, I don't think it's throwing out fair use entirely. If read this thing, it's not as bad as you think it is. And the other thing is, guys, it's just a proposal right now. And the fact that there were 6 people or 6 groups that were involved, I mean, this might not have been something that's... There doesn't seem to be anything that's actually happened yet. We just have a discussion.
Well, and here's the other thing, right? According to James Firth at the Slightly Right of Center website, Minister Ed Vasey, who is the UK minister they met with, Minister of Communications, reportedly said, if it's a voluntary scheme, go and do it. What do you need me? He didn't say this, but he's essentially, what do you need me for?
I mean, you can have companies agree to do something like the ESRB. Yeah. It happens, right?
If they can get everybody on board voluntarily, but the fact that they had a closed-door meeting with a minister means, you know what? We want people to
what that means? Link bait.
Jump in.
Link bait.
We're back. We almost got censored ourselves. All right, I got you a link bait right here. It's called News Fuse. Way back in April, Nokia, announced that it would transfer 3,000 Symbian employees to consulting firm Accenture. What are these workers going to do at Accenture? Work on Symbian, of course. Accenture and Nokia have officially signed a deal where Accenture will continue developing and support Symbian starting this October. Nokia has previously announced that Symbian would be supported through 2016.
Intel's got new competition in the server space. Yesterday, Tilera announced a bunch of new processors ranging from 36 to 100 cores. Tilera believes its processors will do better on servers when compared with Intel's Sandy Bridge processors because Tilera's are aimed at specific server applications. The 100-core Tilera processor is expected in early 2012.
If you're a WordPress.org user, listen up. There were some suspicious commits to some popular plugins such as Add This and W3 Total Cache, which contained backdoors. Mm. WordPress noticed the problem, though, and rollback changes on the plugins. Yay. But as a security measure, passwords are being reset for all users of WordPress.org, BBPress.org, and BuddyPress.org.
All right. These days, if you're going to introduce a portable hard drive, you better have a hook. Not on the actual hard drive, but, you know, something that reels people in. Hitachi has announced the G-Connect wireless storage with internet access for iPad. How is it for iPad, you ask? It has a 2.5-inch, 500-gigabyte hard drive with the ability to stream content to iOS devices via Wi-Fi. All right, you're hard to impress. Not cool enough for you? Well, it's also got an Ethernet port, so it can act as a router. Works with DLNA players, supports iTunes sharing, and acts like a regular hard drive via USB. Now are you impressed? Hitachi's pulling out all the stops.
I think it's neat.
Used to be if you wanted government-approved net neutrality, you would have to move to Chile. But now you have a second option because the Netherlands, which is also known as Holland, home of the Dutch, has become the second country in the world to adopt a net neutrality law. It's also the first country in Europe to do so. The Netherlands, come for the coffee shops, stay for the neutrality. You know what? Okay. The literal web. Come for the pot, stay for the neutrality.
They have lovely steel pots.
They call them coffee shops.
They use there.
Yes, these pots are used for tulips.
For cooking.
The MMORPG, City of Heroes, will undergo some changes later this year. The game will be renamed City of Heroes Freedom and will have a different pricing system, including a free-to-play option. If you're already a subscriber, you'll become a VIP and receive more features, services and rewards. There you go.
Hey, another day, another bunch of Apple rumors. This time they're from Bloomberg. And the latest on this is the iPhone 5 is coming with a dual-core processor and 8-megabit camera in September. Take that, August rumor mongers. On top of that, Apple is apparently developing a cheaper version of the iPhone 4 aimed at emerging markets. Bloomberg also says, hey, while we're at it, how about an iPad rumor? The iPad 3 will have a better display, but we don't know when that's going to be released.
Kleiner Perkins, Institutional Venture Partners, and others are making it rain by pouring $32 million into Shazam. Shazam execs say they're looking to expand their presence on television. The company's already had deals with MTV, Sci-Fi. You might have seen those Old Navy commercials where they tell you to launch Shazam and see what song's playing. But with this new cash infusion, expect to see that Shazam graphic pop up on a lot more ads and television shows, whether you like it or not.
Hey, and then we got some breaking news, Sarah. You sent me this link in the chat.
The Winklevoss twins have decided to abandon their appeal of the latest ruling that they don't get any more money from Mark Zuckerberg over the whole Facebook deal.
Somehow the way you said that made me think the Corsican twins.
Well, that's not what I meant.
But maybe the Winklevoss twins.
The Winklevee. That's how I prefer to call them.
Modern day Corsican twins.
The Winks.
Hopefully they'll just go away now.
All right, time for the randomizer.
Randomizer.
Thanks to BawitDaba1337, who retweeted this at me and Paul Thurrott on Twitter, from Annie Lore. A cupcake was sent to Firefox from Microsoft to congratulate them on the new Firefox 5 release. Now, the backstory here, I'm telling the joke backwards, is Firefox usually gets a cake from Microsoft with an Internet Explorer logo on it for every major Firefox release. But they're releasing Firefox 5 a mere 3 months after Firefox 4, and it is a smaller update because Firefox is going to more frequent updates.
So Microsoft is going to be like a little Firefox bakery, because as Firefox continues to roll out smaller updates more regularly, Microsoft is going to have to keep churning out those cupcakes.
Exactly.
How do we get them redirected here?
I think we need to put out a browser that is competitive with
WebKit. WebKit is open source. We could use that.
Yeah. Let's just put out the TNT browser and say, this is so much more popular than IE. Send us cupcakes.
New features.
We're putting out new features every day. On to the calendar.
The Samsung Series 5 lands in Europe on June 24th, starting at €399, which converts into $574.
Roger, Samsung has landed.
HuffPo's UK edition is launching on July 6th. 10 more international editions are planned. I assume some of this rides on the success of the UK edition, but looks to be that they're going global. Verizon's next big LTE push is coming July 21st. Coverage will be expanded in Seattle, Louisville, Phoenix, Los Angeles, San Diego in time for Comic-Con, as Tom noted, and Las Vegas, just to name a few. LTE, it's going big. Nokia N9 is going to ship in Sweden on September 23rd. The press release was actually written in Swedish, if you use Google Translate to convert it to English. Apparently, the N9 includes a very exciting feature called Gorilla Ice Cream.
Gorilla Ice Cream.
I don't know what it is. But
tasty.
I like it. That's not actually a feature, but, you know, Google Translate is just good for a few laughs every
feature.
Once in a while. Yeah. And what are you going to be doing in the year 2018? Let's think about this.
Will I be alive?
If you are alive, I'll tell you what you're going to be doing, Tom.
Drinking.
You're going to be enjoying exaflop computing from Intel. Yes.
Sweet.
In another press release that was actually written in English, the chip maker set its goal of a supercomputer capable of 1 exaflop, which is 1,000 petaflops, to be unveiled by the end of 2018. So just hold on. Do not die.
You go, Intel.
You want to see that exaflop.
Keep hope alive.
That's right.
All right. On to the voicemail. This one sent in via email with a link to SoundCloud. And it was a submission for Randomizer, but we couldn't relegate it to that. We had to talk about the cupcake. So we're putting it in the voicemail. Thank you for our report from Trinidad.
And now for the Randomizer.
Yesterday, June 21st, paid apps in the Android market finally became available in the beautiful country of Trinidad and Tobago after it was announced by Google over a month ago at Google I.O. This brings the number of countries that have full access to the Android market to 131. This also benefits the main telecommunications service provider, TSDT, as they have outlined a clear Android strategy, offering mid-range Android phones such as the Galaxy Ace and the Galaxy Pro, and also high-end phones such as the Galaxy S and the Nexus S. This is Marlon, the guy from Trinidad, reporting.
Okay, I almost didn't understand a word you said only because your accent is so awesome.
Yeah.
Your voice is delicious.
I want him to read all my audiobooks
yes,
from now on.
Exactly.
Somebody said this sounds like Audible.
But also cool that he was reporting on the launch of the Android store in Trinidad and Tobago.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I like these first person on the scene reports. That's really cool.
Back in the Tech TV days, remember we used to get a lot of feedback from Trinidad and Tobago?
Yes, I do remember that.
Not only did they watch a lot of Tech TV, but they were always correcting us when we said Trinidad and Tobago. So it's nice to see that they've followed us over.
Thank
to
you,
Twit.
Trinidad and Tobago.
Thank you.
Also on the voicemail line to 260-TNT-SHOW is a little tip on how to use Atomic on your iOS device.
Hey, this is John. Love the show. Just wanted to make a correction on for you. Atomic browser, you can change the user agent to say it's Desktop Safari, so you can still get to the New York Post using it. Thank you. Bye.
Well, I don't know if I'd call it a correction, but good tip.
Yeah.
So you can just use Atomic and change the user agent. I didn't realize that either. That's sweet.
There you go.
On to the email, tnt@twit.tv.
First one from Nate Langson, who was actually our guest yesterday. Hey guys, after all my talk of Final Cut Pro X, that was how he chose to say it, being pronounced Final Cut Pro X, it turns out that's wrong. Apple told me today at its London headquarters, it's pronounced Final Cut Pro 10. End of story. So there you have it. They're skipping version numbers like Winamp used to back in the day.
They steal their best ideas from everyone.
Yeah, that and don't tell them to come out with Final Cut Pro 8. I suggested he do that. He did ask Apple for Final Cut Pro 8, and
it's one of the versions they skipped. Right?
Yeah, they skipped that because I want the 8. Okay, so I had a very odd Twitter exchange. So we're going to be reporting that now. Apparently, somebody wrote at Iaz, could have sworn I saw you on Tech News. LOL. This was from at Iaz Live,
which is the singer that
who
we've
goes
talked about.
By stage name Iaz for some reason. That's a stage name. Why? It's a stage name. I have no idea. So I wrote back. I go, yeah, that's my job. I work at Twit.tv on Tech News Today. And then his reply was, nice, my pops watches that all the time. That's how I saw it.
So we have had the meeting of the Iazes.
Yep, whoa. Thanks to Twit.
And his dad watches the show. That's awesome.
Apparently. Hi, Iaz's dad. The other one.
The other Iaz's dad.
I know you didn't name your boy Iaz's stage
Do you think
name,
that he found us because he loves tech or he was looking for his
Iaz's
son?
Yeah, he was like, wait a minute.
This SEO is not my
trick.
Son.
Came for the IS, stayed guy. For the tech news.
It's the SEO poisoning. That's why I was hired.
That's right.
There we go.
It was the only reason. We finally achieved the goal. And finally, I just wanted to let folks know, if you have been going to live.twit.tv and you get a pop-up ad or a malware warning, justin.tv sometimes inserts pop-up ads that are triggering malware alerts on IE and Chrome. So it's not there's not much we can do it, but Bear, our administrator, let us know about that. So just reload, maybe, if you want to be extra safe, or you can switch to one of the other options if you really want to. But Justin.tv is totally safe to use. It's just those couple of pop-ups will trigger that malware alert, so you want to avoid those. Wanted to pass that along. Also, don't forget, as I mentioned earlier, technewstoday.reddit.com is the place to submit links, or just vote on the stories that you see, which ones you want. For instance, today, the UK copyright lobby story got 31 votes, and so it made it into the lineup. We're not going to determine our lineup 100% on what's in Reddit, but it does have an effect. It's one of the sources we look at. And something we may not be thinking is that interesting, if it's got a lot of popularity on Reddit, we're going to take that into account, and it's going to raise it in our estimation. We've got 713 readers in there on Reddit, so go technewstoday.reddit.com if you want to find out how that works, sign up, and have an effect on what we talk about each day. We want to know what you want to hear about. We don't want to be sitting here talking about stuff you don't want to hear about. Also, you can have a piece of the new studio with your name on it, or someone else's name on it, or just the word fudge. It doesn't really matter. Bricks.twit.tv. The bricks are going fast.
Fast and Furious. You can get a two-line brick. You can get your nice little message. Or if you want your logo, a double-sized brick. It's like, what, 8x8? It's gigantic. So get your logo in there, and you can still get it at bricks.twit.tv.
Thanks, everybody, for watching or listening. Thanks again to Lance Ulanoff, editor-in-chief at PCMag.com. Do check that out. And we appreciate him taking the time to be on the show. Sorry we were running late and he couldn't stay for the whole thing. We will be back again tomorrow with more tech news tomorrow. But it'll be today then. We'll see you then. You'll see us.